Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com. You're listening to a For the Girls podcast Flashback Friday episode. Every Friday, I reshare an older episode for new listeners who haven't heard it, or as a refresher for OG listeners who might need to hear it again as a reminder. Enjoy, and I'll see you with a new episode on Monday.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we have a very exciting guest, Heidi D'Amelio. And I'm not going to lie, this is a first for me, so I have to share. I was actually a little nervous at the start of this conversation. We just got off and I'm feeling so much better now. But at the beginning, I think I had some imposter syndrome step in for a brief moment. Like I said, this is kind of a first for me. I don't really experience that too often, but Heidi is just such a star. And of course, you always want to be seen as an equal to your peers or your coworkers or whoever you're connecting with. So I'm just like, here's little old me. Like, I hope she takes me seriously. But Heidi was just so grounded and humble and kind. And she really opened up and got vulnerable throughout the conversation. So I think if you watch this on YouTube, you'll see that. I think you'll really see the energy flow. I think you'll see the confidence come in, even, you know, between the both of us throughout the conversation. I think if you're listening too, you'll be able to hear that. You'll definitely hear how the conversation gets deeper and deeper throughout the interview. And then even if we are worlds apart and have different backgrounds and ages and lifestyles, at the end of the day, we're still two girls chatting, you know? Like, no matter what, this is for the girls. And once you get into those deeper conversations, like, it's just like, okay, you know, like no need to have that imposter syndrome. We're all, you know, just trying to get through life and trying to do our best. And she really, I think that humility and being grounded and all that, because she's so family oriented, I think that really helps. And so this was a very big interview, a very big conversation for me. So I'm really happy with it. And I'm so excited for you girls to hear it. So if you don't know Heidi, she is the matriarch of the D'Amelio family. She was initially known and came to like the social media space as being the mom of Charlie and Dixie D'Amelio, who are like the biggest, talk about a star. They're like the biggest stars. So amazing, everything that they're doing, not only their social media, but how they've really stepped into being like little celebrities now. It's amazing. But aside from that, now Heidi has so much going on with the family reality show on Hulu and stepping into her new role as a businesswoman with her brands, D'Amelio Footwear, Be Happy Snacks. She's been hosting panels with other female business owners, and she was recently on Dancing with the Stars and killed it. And she's just in a space right now where she's ultimately building her own brand and stepping into a whole new light. And she talked about how going on Dancing with the Stars really built up her confidence and allowed her that really coming into her own, to start coming into her own. And I think it's so amazing to hear and to be able to share, because I myself have had so many listeners and followers send me messages and comments. Even when I talk about whether it's dating or business, like, it's too late for me to start over, it's too late for me to start something new, or they feel like their time has passed. And if you have ever felt like that, no matter what age you are, because sometimes I have girls in their 20s say the same thing. If you can relate to that, Heidi is going to give you such a mindset shift in this conversation. So like I said, I'm excited for you girls to hear it. So let's get right into it. And don't forget, video is available of this episode on my YouTube channel at For The Girls. So I'm going to link that in the show notes for anyone who wants to watch instead of listen. Welcome, Heidi, to For The Girls. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Introduce yourself. Tell us everything about you.
Well, thank you for having me, Victoria. I'm so excited to be on a For The Girls podcast. That's really cool. My name's Heidi D'Amelio. You probably know me best as the mom of Dixie and Charlie D'Amelio, but I've been doing lots of things on my own. So we have a show on Hulu that we've had for 3 seasons. That's about our family. Our kids kind of blew up on social media and our whole family. And we're just trying to kind of get through this new journey and chapter in our lives. I did Dancing with the Stars. I've done a lot of things that I'm doing more on my own at this new part of my life. So that's been super exciting. So that's a little bit about who I am.
Yeah. It talk about a little bit of a change in life. I mean, your lives as a family, as individuals, has just completely changed over what. Is 5 years fair? Like, is that when you would say it's been about?
Not yet.
Even less.
Yeah. Fall of 2019. So we're not quite 5 years yet. It
wow,
seems like
even,
a lifetime.
Even shorter. Oh my God. It really does.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. So, okay. In less than 5 years, I mean, millions and millions of followers. Like you said, you are on Dancing with the Stars, which is probably like a what the hell just happened moment, the reality show on Hulu, multiple businesses now that you've come out with that we're going to talk about. Your daughters are beyond social media people. They're celebrities at this point. We're going to get into all that, but this is a lot. I want to know before this all happened, like, what was your lives like? What was your family life dynamic, everything? You know, was this completely out of nowhere?
So we did live right outside of New York City. Mark has been in the clothing business his entire career. So we were constantly in and out of New York City. You know, the girls were very comfortable with big city life. Mark had a showroom in New York City. And just the nature of his work, it brought us to, you know, events and concerts. One of his big customers that he worked with was Madison Square Garden. So we've gone to every concert and everything there. Like, they grew up doing that because those were his clients. And going to sporting events and NBA All-Star and all of these things. So that was kind of the life. We're all very close. I'm from Louisiana. My whole family's there. Mark's family is pretty small, but they're amazing. And they live, we lived in Connecticut, and that's where they are. So we're very lucky to live close by them. We'd go to Louisiana a lot. And, you know, Dixie started musical theater when she was, I don't think she was quite 3 yet, almost. And she did that till high school. And Charlie started dancing at 3. And they tried a little bit of everything. If they showed an interest in something or wanted to try something, Mark and I would encourage that, because how do you figure out what you really like by doing things that maybe you realize, yeah, I don't really like doing that. So anything that they were excited about, and I think even now to this day, you know, if they want to try something, let's go for it. Like, the worst that's going to happen is you get experience and you figure it out. So we just were very close because, you know, Dixie grew up racing BMX bikes as a family. We would travel the country doing that. Charlie going to Charlie's dance competitions. We were just always together. And Mark, although he had a showroom in New York City, he worked from home a lot. So they always had their mom and dad around. I was a stay-at-home mom by choice. I always wanted to do that. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and I was just a very shy kid. And I can't imagine if she would have been out working, how I would have dealt with that. So it gave me a lot of years of her being there for me to get like my confidence and to get a little less shy. So I wanted to provide that for the girls. So I was always around and just encouraged whatever they showed an interest in. And also, you know, sometimes they would show an interest in something. Charlie wanted to be an ice skater. And so we went and she had to wear a full snowsuit. And she was like, oh, yeah, wear the pretty leotards with the skirts. And the teacher's like, you're going to spend most of this hour on the ice on your butt. Like, no. So she was like, yeah, I don't want to do this. I'm like, well, we paid for 6 weeks, babe. So but really the message behind that was just, you know, if you commit to something, you committed to this class and to the teacher, let's just see it through. And I kind of, you know, they had to work, you know, a lot of what they did was working with other people and just kind of learning how to socialize and work in a group setting and solo. Dixie's BMX races, it's very solo, but she was also on a team. Anyway, so that was kind of their life. And so when Charlie was in 10th grade, she went viral on TikTok. Because at that time, TikTok was mostly just dance, like little dances. And then Dixie thought it was cringe. And she was like, can you please stop posting? Like, everybody was on TikTok, but nobody wanted to admit they were on TikTok. It was embarrassing back then. And which doesn't, I say back then, it wasn't that long ago. And so Dixie's like, yeah, if you ever hit 1 million, I'll get on. Thinking, okay, that's never, ever going to happen. And let's see, 3 months later, she hit 1 million. So Dixie got on and it just went wild. They were gaining 1 million followers a day. It was insanity. And I think the beauty in all of it was home and the four of us never changed. Like, it, you know, they still had to go to school and do their homework. And, you know, Dixie was on field hockey and Charlie was on its competition dance team. Like, they still had obligations. And that was, although that was happening, this was their life. So it was kind of that, okay, when do things really... We really need to figure this out because things are shifting and really fast. So that was kind of what led up to fall of 2019.
Did you feel like, you know, once they were rapidly growing like that, getting 1 million followers regularly, did you notice them slowly like getting into like not wanting to go to school or not wanting to go to their other things because they were so invested in building this?
No, it was fun. Like all their friends were doing, everybody was just posting on TikTok. You know, the girls just happened to have a lot of eyes on them, but it was just fun. Like everybody was having fun doing it. It wasn't like, you know, something that, oh, we need to be serious about this. Like it was just fun. And then there was, what was happening was people were reaching out. You know, it was so early. People weren't monetizing on TikTok yet. And so Charlie had gotten a music manager had reached out for her to do a dance to an audio of his clients. And I was like, okay, nobody's paying you to do a dance on TikTok. That's not a thing. And if he wants to talk to you, he can talk to me. And he emailed me and it was actually, I'm like going in a deep dive. I'm like, wait, this is actually legitimate. And so we had to really start thinking about this. And then they were going live and making money. And so we had to like, as a family, like what is happening? Because it was happening so fast. TikTok was so new. Nobody really knew what was what. At the time, I mean, Charlie was 15. You can't even go live until you're 18 now. So it was crazy. Mark's like, we have to pay taxes on that. Everybody stop going live. Like, it was, we couldn't like stop it. So it was just all happening. And then we started, we would make trips to LA. There were things here. And so we would come. And so that's when it got a little, okay, how do we do this and, you know, continue with your school obligations? And so, but they were good. You know, we would come out here on a like Thursday night and they'd take the red eye on Sunday, go to school Monday. We did that for a little while. And then quarantine happened. And so everybody was being homeschooled. So that was, that kind of took that part where it could have been super tricky and just, it went away because they could do what they were doing. They could do school from wherever, you know?
Right. Right. So you kind of stepped into like the momager role, like pretty early on.
No, that was the one thing from the very beginning. Mark and I said, we never want to be, we're always going to be parents first. We don't want to manage them. We don't, that, first of all, we don't know how to manage them. So we're not going to pretend we know how to do that. We know business, but we don't really know that business. And so we found a manager who was also in Connecticut. And so that was super helpful. And then we were doing lots of trips back and forth to LA until quarantine. And then we were just in Connecticut. And so we had a manager. We got to be parents. The girls got to, you know, they were so young. They would still come to us first, like what do you guys think about like this brand deal or that? And so we talked through it with them, but we didn't manage them. We didn't want to do that. We knew that was probably going to be the death of our relationship as a family, and that we weren't willing to sacrifice that.
Yeah. So you, once you like got that email, you saw this is a real thing. You're like, all right, we got to like bring in, we have to outsource for this because we're not going to take on like the emailing and the back and forth sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, we for sure did not know what we were doing, but we knew that, well, they were saying they wanted to do this. You know, they grew up with social media. They've seen Emma Chamberlain and David Dobrik and all these different people make careers out of it. And so they knew that was a thing, probably way more than Mark and I did. So we just, you know, tapped into the few people we knew that were somewhat connected in some sort of way. Mark being in the clothing business, he knew people who made merch for other people. And like, what does that look like? Because that was the big thing early on. Merch was so big back then. And how do you, like, what does that look like? Is that a viable business? Is that something, who's going to buy their merch? Like, what is happening? It was just a lot to process, but we always talked as a family and we always did check-ins because, you know, they're saying they want to do this, but Mark and I on the side, like, they're so young. Do they really, you know, are they really going to miss out on, well, everybody was missing out on a high school experience, but you know, what is this? Who thought quarantine would last so long? Then are they really going to sacrifice high school for this? Like, we just wanted them to make sure they understood that you can't get that back, that high school experience. And so those were the kind of the conversations we were having. And then quarantine lasted a lot longer, and then we ended up just moving to LA. We just did a one-way flight and we got here and that was it. So it was a lot,
you just
easier.
Immerse yourself.
Yeah. And you know, and just still, I mean, literally we have a call tomorrow just to check in, like, how's everybody feeling about everything. I mean, we have our work meetings like every other week to talk through business, but this is just a family check-in. Like, how is everybody like emotionally feeling about everything that you're working on? And so we still do those. We always did those. And they always knew that like family was that, you know, and that to this day hasn't changed. Like, we're still very much the parents. If we are like go and rent an Airbnb, like, we get the primary bedroom. Like, that, I don't care how many followers you have, like, mom and dad gets the big bedroom. Sorry.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because that was such an important question I was going to ask you too. Like, how do you really draw that line, or how are you able to still support each other emotionally while also having to be there for each other professionally? Because there must be times where the line gets blurred, but having check-ins and whatnot, being really intentional about, mm-hmm. you know, having that separate time is probably the best thing for you. Like, do you guys still get to like have dinner together and just talk about things in your personal lives outside of the work life?
So, I will say it's taken us time to get where we are now, because it's social media and real life. Like, we're all on our phones and we're hanging out, and it all of a sudden we'd realize we're talking about work again. And Dixie was the most vocal. She was like, yeah, I don't want to do this. I want to hang out with my family. I don't want it to end up talking about business. And we wouldn't even realize. She was probably the most sensitive to it. And she was like, sensitive and then vocal. And we're like, wow, how did we get there? We were just talking about a puppy dog video, and now we're talking about this brand deal. And how? No. Also, we're much more structured. We have an office space here now. And so we're much more structured on when the meetings are and when we're talking about that. Like, early on, it was just kind of, you know, all over the place. And, oh, well, I have you for 5 minutes. Can we just talk through whatever? And so we don't do that anymore. It's not even a thing. I will say it took some time. And I remember Charlie saying, like, the lines are too blurred. Like, you know, when are we business partners and you're my mom? But it ultimately just took time. But in that time, we were all very sensitive to it. We weren't good at it yet, but we were sensitive to, like, I don't want you to come to me and feel like you can't just be my daughter. I want you to know I'm mom first, or don't feel bad about, like, you know, my stomach hurts and I just want to cry and just be my mom. Like, that's always a priority. So it took a little time and learning to communicate more about it, because I think we're all just trying to do our best and, like, keep our head above water with, like, you know, the highs and lows of social media. And so now we take time to, like, talk about that, how proud we are of each other for being where we are and being this family that, I mean, we all are just moving. And the girls were like, can we all be neighbors? I mean, that's huge. You would think at this point, there's a good chance that they wanted to be as far away from us as possible. But here we are, all neighbors. And and I mean, I couldn't be happier.
That's probably, though, why you did make it this far professionally in those terms, like, as a family, because so many girls their age go viral on social media. So many girls have blown up and have big YouTubes and TikToks and all the things, but rarely does the entire family not only get involved, but, like, rarely does anybody care about the entire family. And I feel like it's because of the principles that you guys have in place, and because the girls come to you, I think that's what makes people care, you know, whether it's that they can relate or maybe it's that they can't relate and they wish that they had that. Maybe they just see that through the show and even just through the videos, and they're like, I really resonate with this family.
Oh, thank you. And I feel like we hear that a lot, like, when we're out and about, just people will say, I love your family. Like, of course they love the girls, but they'll always say, I just love you guys as a family. Well, and the way that started, I mean, I'm going to back up a little bit, going back to, like, us as a family. Like, Mark still has his same job he always had. Like, we never needed the girls' money. So that, I think that can be tricky in families. And they always knew, like, Dad has a job, that he's not dependent on us. Like, we're still us, and whatever you make is yours. Like, obviously we have family deals we split, but, you know, it's split appropriately, but, you know, whatever. So, and then to answer that question, we do get that people love our family. And what happened early on was everybody loved the girls and then they didn't. And it got real dirty on the internet with hate, and it was really hard to watch and look at the comments. So Also, neither one of the girls had really spoken online before. And so all you would see were these sort of, you know, lip sync videos or dance videos. And so people were kind of making up who these girls were. And so Mark and I thought, because the girls didn't, we would tell them, say something, you know, you actually have a family, you have dogs, you have a, you know, you have a life, you this, you're a dancer since you're three, you're a singer since you're two, like, talk. And they just were like, it was so new and scary. They were just like, no, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. So we thought, let us post that so they don't have to do it. And people see that there's more to them than that 15-second like video. And when people saw them as kids and us as a family, and they were like, wait, they're actually normal. Wait, they're actually, they remind me of my family. They're actually a normal family. Why? Okay. Wait. Okay. We like them. And that we weren't trying to get people, oh, we need them to like them. It's just to see them as like, they're human beings, just like you. Like they had a life before this. So people only knew them from, you know, whatever, July of 2019. And we showed them through the family channel on TikTok and Instagram, whatever, that there's more to them than that. And so I think people kind of saw them, you know, obviously the girls have their own thing for sure, but they do see that they are connected to this family that's family first. So I think that was kind of how the family thing started. And then when people started coming to us about doing a reality show, they wanted the whole family because, I mean, I think the girls could have done their own thing, but they saw the dynamic of the, you know, these young girls and the family here to like protect them. They like, you know, everybody wanted to know that story, like, you know, and how is this going to play out?
Yeah, well, I mean, it really did separate you guys from the rest. And I also think that it makes the influencer or whatever title they prefer to go by more real. It makes them more real girls aside from just like being aspirational or inspirational. It made them, oh, they are teenagers. They are in high school. I mean, like you mentioned about the comments and whatnot, I want to know what that was like for you, because this, I know that the girls were traveling, were experiencing a lot, but this was still a new territory in the sense of like, this is pre-media training. This is pre-press and talk shows and interviews. Like I think about like back in the day when I would get nasty comments, like my mom would be in my comments. I'm like, mom, you can't be doing that. Like, did you want to just like get in there and be like, you know, combating the comments that they would get? How did you hold that?
We did do that. Mark and I would do that because we knew they weren't going to do it for themselves. Dixie was always really good. Dixie would really defend Charlie in her comments, because she didn't like it for herself, obviously, but she hated seeing that for Charlie. And so I, you know, it all came from a good place, but ultimately we were like, we can't do this. We can't keep doing this. It's just draining. It's like playing whack-a-mole, and it's just not worth it. And so we don't really do that anymore, but we had to go through it. But, and also some people just need to know, like, that is not okay. Like, it is not okay. Also, I feel like with our show, you got to really see the effects of somebody that's sitting here and getting millions and millions and millions of hate comments and what that looks like on the other side. So I think because we had that and people really were like, whoa, I didn't realize, you know, how that can affect someone, it changed. And it showed, you know, it gave the girls like, okay, I don't need to respond. Mark and I don't respond. It causes more problems for them. It's just not worth it.
They probably were like getting embarrassed. They're like, mom, like, but you know, you can't.
I mean, but they would, it was hard because they would come to us and like, because some of it was people from their hometown or people they knew or people that they had met. A lot of it was adults coming after a 15-year-old. And that was just not okay. And, you know, so they're coming to us like, so you just want to help your kids. And so that's the only thing like we had to do was to respond. And then they attack us and the whole, it was just a lot. So yeah, we don't really do that anymore.
No, I totally get it. I get it. I want to talk more specifically about your transition because you mentioned from the beginning, like, I was a stay-at-home mom. You mentioned something about like really needing to boost up your confidence to kind of put yourself out there more. What was like your personal transition or like the timeline to go from, you know, being a stay-at-home mom, maybe being a little bit more shy to now, you know, you're out there, you have millions of followers, you're doing the panels with, you know, the businesses and whatnot. You yourself, like girls aside, you are your own brand too. So did you ever really see yourself doing anything like this?
So before I even met Mark, I had moved to New York City. I had been modeling and I wanted to see if I could model in New York City. So a couple of my girlfriends and I moved and we were modeling. I mean, I was also a personal trainer because modeling is so, you never know if you're going to get a job or so the personal training paid the bills and the modeling was just something I just really enjoyed. So I always said, this was before I even met Mark, I'm going to get married and have kids. And after they move out of the house, I'm going to resurrect my modeling career. Cause I really want to just be a stay-at-home mom. I didn't want to do both. I'm not good at that. I need to focus on one thing. And so I always knew after they were set, I was going to try to get back into modeling as a mature lady. And so I kind of always like looked forward to that, like never feeling like I missed out or anything. I just was like, ooh, that's going to be such a new fun chapter. And so all of this happened and I was like, wow, this is going to be different. And probably maybe a lot easier. It has not been easy, I will tell you. So early on, whenever we would do things, especially as a family, and okay, you know, we would get, let's say we'd have to announce something. Okay, Mark, you say this, and you know, it has it on the paper. Charlie says this, Dixie, Heidi, and I would be like, you guys just say it. I'll just stand here. Like I didn't even want to hear my own voice. I was so just not there. And we, you know, obviously the girls went from 0 to 100 with all of this, but so did I. And I was, my purpose in life was to care for these kids as, you know, a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, don't get me wrong, Mark and I, we had so much fun. Our marriage has been so much fun as we're going on 24 years next month. It's like I had such like a full stay-at-home mom life, I will say. And I think because he worked from home most of the time. So we were always like, to have your best friend with you all the time. Like, it's so much fun. So I am just really, my followers were my kids' followers. I really wasn't posting that much. And I didn't really know what I wanted. What is my brand? Like, who am I? What am I about? So that continued until I did Dancing with the Stars. And I, you know, you, first of all, I didn't even know if I could remember an 8 count. I don't know how this is going to go. Thank God Charlie was there doing it as well, because we really, I mean, we're going through the same different, but that the same thing, you know, your time is not on your side. So you get there show day, you're hopefully remember all of the choreography. Then when you're done, you have the judges, you have a studio audience and millions of people watching at home. And then you run up top and then they interview you. And I remember thinking, I have nobody to hide behind. My family is not here. And just the way that the show works, they interview the person, not the pro. I'm thinking, I'm just going to give the mic to him and he could talk. And they're like, no, that's not how this works. So every week I just felt myself get a little bit taller, feel a lot more confident. I was on 8 out of the 10 weeks. And by the end, I felt like I could visually look back at the growth, and because it happened so fast. I do think had none of that happened, I would have gotten there. I think it would have taken me years. It was just being thrown into this and the nature of the show and the way you have to push yourself physically, mentally, emotionally. I just got there a lot quicker. And I just feel so different now in the best way. You know, we're now empty nesters and Mark and I are just like enjoying this phase of our life. And I'm almost coming into the marriage as a new person because I've like stand so tall in my shoes, no pun intended, D'Amelio footwear, but you know what I mean? And, but I'll tell you, the Dancing with the Stars was a really hard time for Mark and I. You know, he realized a lot about himself, and now half of our family is, you know, Dancing with the Stars is intense. It's hours of your life every single day, and you don't know when it's going to end. Hopefully you go the whole way like Charlie did, but you know, it's just constant. And when you're not there, you know, your body's hurt. You're trying to remember choreography. You're emotionally wrecked. It's so much. And so, you know, he was missing me, but it was coming out in a different way because he didn't know what it was. You know, he also is always used to, I'm always around and I wasn't. And so that was really hard for him. And as I'm becoming like super confident and really finding my voice and learning how to communicate, and it's almost like he was shy and I was like, it was such a weird dynamic. And we did a lot of therapy. And the one thing was, we were both fighting for the same thing, like more time with each other. I'm like, okay, I feel like we're going to be okay, because if we were fighting because I can't stand you and I don't want to be near you, that's a problem. We were fighting because we weren't together. And it was, anyway, it's just like we got to a place in our marriage that I didn't think we could ever get to. I didn't know that existed, but we, you know, had to go through some shit to get there. And it's beautiful. And it's so funny because the girls are like, why is your relationship having a glow up? Like, you guys have been married a long time. You know, this is goals. They're so cute. And so they're like so happy for us, but it took a minute to get here for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I have so many questions. I love every single thing that you just said.
I'm rambling. Sorry.
No, that was perfect. That was perfect. I hope that my brain can remember every single point I want to go back through. The first thing that I really love that you said was about how really being thrown into like the deep end with Dancing with the Stars is what broke you out of that shell. I have a saying on For the Girls that's just, it comes up in every episode, because whether it has to do with your personal life, with dating, with work, with entrepreneurship, I always have said for years, confidence is a byproduct of action. You don't get confident and then take action. You take action and then you get confident. And so, you know, when people get nervous to do something, they want to wait to do that thing until they build up the confidence first. Whereas I say, no, do it messy, throw yourself into the deep end first, fail, then you learn from it. And that's how you get better at it. So I also have a bunch of clients. I've coached girls over the years in business and confidence and everything in between, even just through content creation. And the amount of girls who are just afraid to even post a TikTok, I'm like, just do it. Your first 10 are gonna suck. Just do it. You'll get more confident afterwards. I'm like, trust me, they are gonna suck. Trust me, yeah, they are. Yeah, yeah. So would you say that that's like kind of how you feel like you really built your confidence, was just by taking that action first? And do you think, you know, there's other moms out there too, who know they're not going to be on Dancing with the Stars, but maybe they're stay at home moms too, who also feel like they didn't have their own thing. They were more of someone for everybody else, except for being like really themselves. What kind of advice really would you have there from your own experience for them?
Well, I just want to say thank you for saying that. And I actually wrote it down because I love that. And that you just put into words what actually happened, and a lot shorter. So that was, I did write that down. I think that, yeah, I don't think I could say it better than you just did. It's so scary. And, you know, although what I did was very physical, you know, and not everything might be like that or that level of intensity for so many hours, for so many weeks. But it, whatever it is you're scared of, yeah, you're right. Just let it be messy, because I'd rather go through the messiness. If you can just remember, like, if you can just get through the messiness, how beautiful it's going to be on the other side. Because I always say, like, do hard things. Because once you do that, you're like, oh, okay, that was really hard. And the hard things might not be hard to somebody else. It might seem very little, but to you, if you're having your own feeling about it, it's hard. And you do it and you're like, wait, I actually did that. And just like bask in that glory, girl, because it means a lot. Because it means, it's going to mean more than just doing that thing. Because what it does for you, it's something in your brain, your body, your energy that clicks. And then you're like, oh, if I can do that and I got through it and that was hard, I'm going to like replicate that. And that's what, and that's when I was doing Dancing with the Stars. I right after I got maybe week two, I was already questioning, how am I going to replicate this level of messy, scary, hard stuff? Because not everything's going to be like that. And it's wild because I have, and it's different, but I've been able to, I'm constantly putting myself in the middle of something that is, I have no idea what I'm doing, and I do it. And I still get as proud of myself as I did when I did Dancing with the Stars. And so I think just that, whatever that thing is, just, I always try to, I'm big on visualization. So I always try to like imagine myself visually, like, what does that look like? But also imagine like the feeling, you know, and once you get that feeling, the goal is like, for me, just keep replicating that. I want to keep feeling that for the rest of my life. So I think, yeah, I do think just do it messy and just do it for sure.
I love that. I especially love the imagining the feeling, because I think that is such a big thing that people not only that they don't do, but that they don't even know is an option, like feeling the feeling before it happens. That's something that I did a lot when I was single and was like wanting to meet somebody. I had to imagine what it would feel like to be in love, because if you're coming into dating as like, dating sucks, dating is so hard, like I don't want to go on this date, like you're not going to attract somebody. Yeah. Because you're going into dating like hoping they cancel because you just don't want to go through another date. Like, you can't live life that way, because then you're constantly going to attract negative experiences if you go into everything negatively. So I love that you said that about feeling the feelings. Like, imagine what it would be like to succeed. Imagine what it would be like to just try something, even if it's a hobby. It doesn't even have to be for money. Absolutely. It doesn't have to be monetized, you know, just
so true.
Take a pottery class. I'm like, do yeah. something, go bowling. Like, just do something for fun.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out, because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence, worth every penny. And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now."
Absolutely. And I do think that I'm not making it seem like the hard thing. Sometimes it freezes you. Like I know I've been there, and I'm, you know, on live television, I've been there, and so it's not to make that don't worry about that. That it can really freeze you and keep you where you are. I think for me, I always put more value on the feeling after, because I know it's going to be better. And I try to not sit so much in the fear and the anxiety of what's holding me back. I try to just focus the energy on what is that going to feel like after? So, it's fun. But I will tell you, I did do something recently that was really hard. I have a friend who is actually kind of become my mentor at this point, but we're like besties too. And she's amazing. She's like been in business for years. She's at the top of her field. And I was telling her, as from a business standpoint, as even personal standpoint, when I'm trying to market myself, what is my brand? I don't even know what it is, because I like a lot of different things. And she said, "You need to write a manifesto." I'm like, "I don't even know what that is." And so she talked me through it, gave me notes on how to go about it. Not a lot of notes. And it was just coincidentally, Mark was out of town. It was me and the five dogs. And I sat in front of a desktop, which I can't even tell you the last time I did that, for 4 days. And I wrote. I can't even tell you the last time I wrote anything. And I wrote and I wrote. I mean, I had a very little limited guideline she gave me. And it was just things coming out that I didn't realize. The confidence boost it gave me, what it did for me, I read it almost every day. It's basically just like my brand deck. It's who I am. And the funny thing was, I knew all of those things. Like, I kept asking myself, who am I? What am I about? And my friend is like, okay, that's almost impossible to answer. You know, you have to look at it differently. And so the way that she kind of laid it out for me to kind of take and run with was, you know, just in a different way. And it was all stuff like I knew this stuff about me, but I couldn't explain it. And I couldn't put it into words that made sense to anybody else. And anyway, so it's like, it's changed how I literally how I stand up every day, and how I'm just so, so sure of who I am, while being open to new things and change. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that has been super exciting for me lately.
It makes perfect sense. Sometimes you just have to actually write it out. And sometimes, like you said, like you're about the visual learning and whatnot. Sometimes you have to actually see it in black and white in front of you. And also, you mentioned something so important too, which was that it's what you already knew, but probably subconsciously you were just like burying it down there because you're like, you know, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, like I can't be all these things. I like so many different things. Like, who really am I? You probably put on all your other hats first, the mom hat, the wife hat, you know, and that tends to happen in families, is like the mother, you know, especially for a stay-at-home mom. I grew up with my mom the same way too, like puts herself last. It's always like, the leaders eat last is like a big saying that we always say, like the moms eat last. Like, I mean, half the time my mom, I remember growing up, like we were all already eating dinner. She didn't even sit down yet. You know, like that's right. Just how it goes. And so you kind of can lose yourself in that lifestyle, as much as it's a blessing and nothing to ever like per se complain about. You love that your life and you would do anything for your family. Sometimes you forget, you know, you lose yourself a little bit. You forget who you really are too. And I think what you said was so important and vital, because I think deep down, yes, you know who you are, you know what you love, but maybe you just like forgot to be that for a little bit. So then you get to write it all out and you're so re-inspired.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, and then as I'm sitting here, because when I say I wrote for 4 days, a lot of times I just looked at the keyboard like, okay, I see the letters there. Now, how are they going to all come together into words? But I think it was me, you know, I did question as I'm sitting there, is there a part of me that doesn't want to know? Like, is there a reason I'm purposely not having, I'm 52. Why do I not know? And that, I think that was the thing. Like I realized is that you do know, you just haven't taken the time to sit and think about it, because, you know, yeah, you are doing all these things, your wife, your mom, your business owner, your work, this, that, dogs, everything. And I didn't put the importance on it. And now I'm thinking, how could I have not put the importance, that this is the roadmap to my best life with every relationship I have. It's, and myself, and for myself. So it's just like, it's like something very new and I'm like super excited about. So I feel like excited to talk about it.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about the business stuff in a second, but before we do, I don't want to forget how you brought up your marriage and you went through a tough time with Dancing with the Stars. I think a lot of women can really hear more about this, even for their own sake of like, you know, how do you stay present in your marriage and work on, you know, growing your marriage while also getting to accomplish your dreams and putting yourself first? Like you said, you had that tough time. Was it really just like communication was the key or more quality time? Like, how did you guys really overcome that?
I mean, it's so cliche, right? Communication is key. And we always pride ourselves in communicating. Since we met, he's a really good communicator. I have not been a good communicator. I was very shy growing up, so I wasn't really talking much in general. And then I feel like I never really got good at it. And I got so much better when I met Mark, because he was so good at it and I learned so much. But as I grew and, you know, got older, I got worse. And although we were communicating, I wouldn't say we were communicating in a way that really moved the needle for our relationship. Like, there was nothing bad. It just, you know, he was having feelings and I was having feelings that I didn't even know how to communicate what I was feeling. Like, okay, what do I even say to make it make sense? That's kind of where I was. When I tell you I found my voice, all of a sudden I knew how to communicate. And the communication was, you know, let's say today, I mean, this didn't happen, but let's just say, I have a podcast, I have a meeting at 12 and then we have a podcast and then a Zoom and then we have a podcast and then we have something together at 4:15. So I already feel like our days were going to be in passing today. So how about when we get home, because we all work, you know, we work together. So we get here together, we leave together. Let's take some time to connect, but I'm also need some time to sort of like process the day, because that's going to be notes I want to take and just journal a little bit. So I think in the communication is managing the expectations, not just for him, but for me, you know, and okay, what is this? rest of this day is going to look like. And it's not always like, okay, this. It's not always like that. Just some days it's like we're together all day. And I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, I really miss you. Although we were together all day, there was no connection there because we're in an office full of people working. So like, but so let's take some time to just like talk about nothing, not work, not the kids, just talk and connect. And that has been, that was the difference. Those were the conversations that we weren't having, because at the end of the day, probably the thing that whenever we would have moments where we weren't connecting was where we felt not as good in the relationship. And so now when we're feeling that, if I'm feeling it, if he's feeling it, we're like, hold on. I feel like we're not connecting, like eye to eye. Let's just talk and hug. Like, hugs to me, my love language is touch and acts of service. And he knows that. And so he uses that to like bring us closer. And I do for him as well. So it's just the kind of communicating. Also, I told him this recently, how kind our marriage is. Like, there's never like, because a lot of it is tone, and just the way that we talk to each other is very kind. And I felt that, but I think that's the other thing. Sometimes I think things that I'm like, well, I'm sure he knows, but he doesn't. And he was like, I appreciate you saying that so much, because I feel the same, but I never thought to mention it. But it is a very kind, like, thing, you know? And so that's huge, because the world is not always kind. And so to have that person that's so nice, you know, it doesn't mean we always agree. Like, even in our disagreements, we're very kind to each other. And and just recognizing it and vocalizing that has been so nice. It feels like really good.
I mean, you're together for over 20 years now. So it could be so easy to not be kind. It could be so easy to lose your patience for the other person. It could be so easy to be like, oh, I need time away from my wife, my kids, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. But being intentional about not going down that route, and being intentional about always staying kind. And the fact, I love that you mentioned love languages, because I mean, how do relationships survive without knowing what the other person's love language is? I think that's so important. And the fact that you are together as long as you are, and you mentioned from the beginning, you were like, he's my best friend. I think that's one of the biggest things that keeps the friendship there too in the relationship, is that you both get to serve each other in your love languages and make sure the other feels heard and seen and loved. And there was the other thing that you mentioned, I love my quotes, so I always like say my quotes that I hear. You talked about sometimes you had conversations that didn't push the needle, and it reminded me of a quote, which was, communication isn't the goal, comprehension is the goal. And comprehension is just about actually hearing each other and actually understanding each other. And that's how you push the needle, because you can talk, but if you're not seeing eye to eye, if you're not on the same page, then no, you're not going to progress. So I think all of that really like sums up how you said the girls were like, you're together for 24 years, how are you having a glow up? Because you guys are so intentional about these things. Comprehending each other, having those like real conversations, loving each other in your love languages, being intentional about your time after a long work day, all of that together, and being kind to each other, all of that. I mean, in another 20 years, you're going to have another glow up. Like, that's how you keep a relationship thriving.
Yeah. Well, and the crazy part of all of that is we just learned love language, the real good communicating and connecting is all new. I mean, that's new to us. And I was like, we talk about that, like, we did pretty good for not knowing this stuff. And that's why I said we're in a place we never knew we could get, because we didn't know that stuff before. Mm-hmm. We didn't know about love languages. So it's like, when you can actually, like, this is the roadmap. It's and we do for each other. It's just, it does. It takes you to another level. And I think too, I think there were times where I would have something I'd want to say, but I'm like, oh, it's like, I don't know if I could explain it in a way he's going to understand or it's going to make sense. So what's the point? And so I just wouldn't say anything. And I think what he's been able to tell me is like, I don't care what it is that you're trying to say, but I thought that what he explained to me was that I'm going to give you this very safe space to say anything. And he had to say, I felt like you knew that. You can tell me anything. You can say anything. Like, how have I, everything that we've been through, how has that not come through? And I didn't even know that I was feeling that, but I was like, I needed to hear that. And now I'll say anything. But it went both ways. Like, there was some things it's like, well, it's just not even worth it. Like, not even... Like, it might be something little. I'm like, I need to know those little things because I never want the little things to turn into big things. And so now it's just like this free-flowing, kind, like super communicative connecting that we never knew was in store for us after almost 24 years. So it's a very exciting time for us individually because we're doing our own work individually too on like fulfilling our lives. And then when we come together and get to talk about it, like it's just, we're just in such a different place, but in a good place. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. So not only is Mark your life partner, but he is a business partner too. You have the personal life and the professional life. I want to know about your brands and how they actually came to be. So you have D'Amelio Footwear and you have Be Happy Snacks, which these two might sound like completely random things to people. Like, how did this family come out with these specific products? So why were these two brands born? Like, what's the story behind them?
So, well, the footwear, we have a friend that lived in where we lived in Connecticut that Mark knew her brother for years. And knew her dad and knew that she was in the she's a footwear designer. And so when all this stuff happened with our family, she was like, hey, the company, she was at the Commuto group. We wanted to give the girls some shoes. So we're like, yeah, come by. So she came over and then Mark's like, yeah, if this ever turns into a thing, maybe we'll do a footwear line together. She was like, well, you have my number. And then fast forward, you know, as we were, you know, the girls are doing a lot of brand deals and brand partnerships, which we will continue to do always. But there was a part, you know, Mark's always been an entrepreneur his whole career. He's always worked for himself and started his own businesses. So the girls grew up seeing that. And there was the conversation of like, what could we do that we can have full creative freedom on, that something that we can own, like something that we can have a part in from the start that's ours. And so that's kind of how the conversation started with starting D'Amelio Brands. And then we remembered this whole conversation we had a few years ago with Lauren and just Mark being in the clothing business. Although he hadn't been in the footwear business in this way, he knew that business and he was very comfortable with it. And the girls and I, you know, we're always wearing really uncomfortable shoes. So we thought that this would be a good opportunity to put something in the marketplace that was comfortable and cool and that people would like. And so that's kind of how that started. And we, you know, I think part of the story people don't get is because we do a lot of brand partnerships and brand deals is that this is ours. We own it. We have business partners, but we own majority. So this isn't something like a shoe that existed. We put our name on all of the footbeds we own outright. They are our designs. We get them made in the same factories of some of the biggest brands in the world, you know? So that's been the hardest thing of this journey is people just not believing that we're an actual real footwear, a real business, and that we actually own it. So that has been super exciting. Of course, it comes with a lot of highs and lows of starting a new brand. We're a startup. So, you know, we have a board that we have to meet with. And so it's just been also finding our place, you know, the fact that I'm older and then that I wear this foot, you know, I'm promoting this footwear brand and the girls are younger and they're promoting it. Like, you know, people just maybe don't understand, but I do feel like now it's been almost a year. We have so many different styles from sneakers to heels to slides and everything in between that there is something for everyone. So that's kind of the footwear in a nutshell, but it's been so exciting and so much fun. We get to go to the trade show in Vegas that Mark's been going to for 30 years. You know, this is something he's done. Like it's the girls have gone. That would be our only family vacation because we couldn't afford a family vacation. So we'd go wherever Mark was going for work and we would go to the trade show and the girl, you know, they were in their stroller. They've been doing this their whole life. And now to go back as adults with their own brand is so exciting. And then the popcorn, I know it seems very, very random. Who's not a snacker, first of all, but, It was just something we talked about we wanted to do, something in the snack space. I mean, my kids thrive. I mean, any good snack, they're all over it. They love to do Go Puff and they're all about the snacks. They said our snacks at our house suck, but we're working on it. Anyway, so that's kind of where that came from and the opportunity with popcorn and then Walmart wanted to work with us. So it kind of just all came together. Like, I mean, I've eaten popcorn every day almost my whole life. I love it. And there was something big, like my mom and I, we used to pop our own and we liked the burnt ones. It was a whole thing. It goes way back. So that was kind of, it just kind of happened that way. But we want to be in that space. We love that space. We think that's, and we also think it's fun. You know, it's different than footwear. Fun in a different way. And, you know, we travel a lot and I pack my snacks. You know, everybody had their snacks. Everybody's good. So that's kind of just that in a nutshell. And then we have the little acne patches. That's not out yet. We're still working on that. But, you know, my kids wear them all the time. Like, why don't we start our own? Duh. So that's kind of where that came from. It's like people like to make up their own, like, crazy stories about, like, why would they do this? This is so random. But, I mean, as I said earlier, my kids, whatever they showed an interest in, let's try it. You know, we're just trying things. Not obviously, we're not going to be haphazard with our money, but it's something we enjoy. It's fun. Let's just do it. So.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, everyone's always going to have, you know, those thoughts and opinions. It comes with the territory. And I feel like when you're already this successful, they want to like put you in this hole of like, oh, that Charlie's the TikTok girl, you know, so she can't also be the entrepreneur, you know, she can't be both of those things.
Right.
I see them do it all the time. They do it even with like Hailey Bieber, you know, she came out with the skincare. Like, come on. Like, I just feel like people don't like to see people thrive in all different areas. Because it's their own perception, you know, of just their life. Yeah. And so seeing it happen for you guys is just probably mind-blowing to them. But it makes so much sense, too, because first of all, like you said, you guys are always wearing uncomfortable shoes because look at your lifestyle. You're doing things. You're on the carpet. You're doing interviews and whatnot. You're getting dressed up. So, of course, that inspires, you know, you to come up with your own. And I think the snacks, too, it's such a smart, even the acne patches that you just said, it's such a smart way to go as opposed to what the standard, I think the standard, you know, influencer to business owner pipeline is typically like makeup or beauty, like skincare, like that route. This is so much more personable to you guys. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the acne patches, like you said, like they wear them in the videos, you know? So I'm sure they probably have had a million comments. What are those patches? Where did you get that from? Like, you know, people want to know these things. So it's a smart venture to make it your own. But I think all of that makes perfect sense and sounds actually
pretty on brand for you guys when you explain it that way.
Yeah, I feel like too. I mean, as I said, like the girls, whatever they wanted to try, like we moved our whole life to LA. Like, I know not everybody would do that. The nature of Mark's business, because he works for himself, he could do what he does anywhere, which he still does. He still has his job from forever, but he's doing all the other stuff on top of it. But it's like, that's more of a, it's more us than anything, because we're like, yeah, let's throw a podcast room in our office. Like, so like, we haven't done a podcast yet here, but it's ready for when we are. You know, we have five dogs. Any family that's going to take on five dogs, you know, they're willing, they're open, they're like, that's just how Mark is. Very much that way. He's very much like, let's just do it, let's just have fun and like do it. And so the girls growing up like that, they're not doing, trying things is not odd to them. I think people like aren't used to, you know, I think people tend to, well, because there's a lot to think about, you know, of like, well, what if it doesn't work or this or that or whatever. And we're willing to take the risk. You know, I think that's more Mark. He's that way. Like, he's willing to, let's just take a risk and see what happens. Like, if it works out and if it's fun, like we can figure out the business stuff. Like, he knows the business stuff, and we'll just like create something together that could be great. So when you really know us and really look at it, it's more on brand than anything, honestly.
You know what? I just don't think people are used to seeing such supportive parents and like really empowering parents who are encouraging their kids to try, because I do think more often than not, it is the parents putting in the kids' head, like, don't do that. Like, what if you fail at that? Don't invest your money in that. You don't waste your money. Don't throw your money away. Like, they put more of a scarcity mindset into the kids' heads of like, you know, make sure you triple check this 500 times, because what if it doesn't work out and whatnot. And so it makes kids, I mean, it also has a lot to do with how people grow up, because I always say, like, sometimes your mindset with money has to do with the way that you were raised around money. Like, if you saw your parents constantly fighting about money or telling you, you can't do this, you can't have that because we can't, maybe it makes you grow up and become more scarce when it comes to investing your money. But it seems like, you know, I know you mentioned like you guys weren't traveling the world growing up, like you didn't have the money to do that, but you were at least, they were at least seeing their dad running a business and being entrepreneurial and being able to support a family. And that in itself probably has inspired them over the years that they want to be able to do that for, you know, their future and be able to invest and run businesses and whatnot. So I do think that a lot of them and their success, I hope you take credit for how the mindset is, because it is a generational thing, you know, like definitely the family upbringing has a lot to do with that mindset. And the fact that you guys are so supportive and able to say, just try it. Like, okay, the worst thing happens, it fails, you know, at least you got the experience. At least you learned.
I think anybody who's an entrepreneur or starts their own business can agree, you know, for Mark, when he was risky, when he, you know, when we were dating and he couldn't afford to be risky, we lived in New York City, like, but he had enough. I love this man. He's so good at, I'm going to take the risk, but I'm going to do the work and I'm going to make it work. And he's always done that. It's not like, oh yeah, well, let's take the risk, we have all this money. We did not have money to do that at all. But it was like, we were going to figure it out. And so, and he, it almost like in some way, I don't know, we'll have to talk, I'll have to talk about this with him, but it's almost in some way, it makes him work harder to make it, because there is no safety net. You know, he started his first clothing brand, and like literally weeks after we found out I was pregnant with Dixie, and we're like, oh, like, We were comfortable risking when it was just the two of us. Now we have like a baby on the way, and tough times financially. We lived in a fourth floor walk up. I was nauseous. It was not a good situation, but he worked so hard. He would go to what's it called? Kinko's. And cause he would go to trade shows and he would make his sales book and he would be there all night. Cause it had, you know, he would make the graphics for the spine of the binders, like the work. And he's so like type A and meticulous and wanted it to be successful. So he put the work in, and that was, and he's always just done that. Let's just do it. And so the girls are like that. They're just like, let's just do it. We're going to put the work in. We're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. We'll figure it out. So although it may seem haphazard, it's just when you know you're going to just do everything. And he's very good at pivoting. When something isn't quite working, okay, how can we pivot this? And it just, he's just really good at what he does.
He's a problem solver. And I think
very much
how you mentioned, you know, how maybe people online have this like misconception of just like, oh, they just have so much money that they're just throwing things at the wall until something sticks. That's their own mindset. You guys, mm-hmm. like hearing how you talk about him and you guys and the girls, like you guys are entrepreneurial. You have the right mindset. There's a reason why your businesses work. And it's because of, like you said, he's not just like taking risks and like seeing what happens and hoping he gets lucky.
Right,
he's
right.
Taking the steps. He's diligent about doing the work and doing what it takes to mm-hmm. make that happen. Whereas a lot of people just don't have that in them. So I would very much take any of that commentary with a grain of salt. It's just like, you either get it or you don't. Like,
I know,
like it, I'm
I
sorry, know. Then you just don't get it. So
yeah.
It's
not perfect. It's business and it's, the economy is not great. So we're figuring it out like we would do with anything. So, but at mm-hmm. the end of the day, you know, Mark and the girls all have ADHD, so they have to be like doing something. And this is just perfect for them. Like, it's just, if the alternative is a 9-to-5, like they would go crazy. So mm-hmm. this like keeps a fire in their belly and it's exciting. And even in the uncertainty, like that excites them, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. My last couple questions for you before we wrap up. I want to know about your recent experience with doing the panels and whatnot, because like you said, this is all new to you. And so you're doing panels with other female founders and business owners. And I'm sure this has been like a whirlwind of an experience for you. Tell me how that has been going.
I don't even know if I could put it into words the feeling I get when I do that. And I think I'm starting to think that I kind of like being the person, because I have people in my life that are like, have these like backgrounds and the history and business and all of this. And then I have people that with the platform that I have, they need to share that. And if I could just be the middleman to bring it together, like that brings me like so much joy. And I mean, these panels that I've been doing, the feedback is, I just like walked away with so much from that I can actually apply to my own life, even though I'm doing something that's so different, you know? And so that's what I can't get enough of it. It makes me so happy to do that. And I'm like, I'm going to be a panel girl, because I just love being that person to like help connect and share the things that people have learned after years of ups and downs. And, you know, you learn from the failures and all of that. And so, yeah, obviously I have my own to add to it, because I do like to do that. But I'm sitting on the panel sometimes like, oh, wait, I'm actually moderating here. I have to, but I'm learning. And so maybe some part of me is selfishly just like doing it so I could get first row seat to learn all this stuff. So it's been so, so great. And I'm having so much fun doing it.
You're like head down taking notes, and then you're like, oh, yes, wait, I'm supposed to be
taking notes. I'm even taking notes right now.
Yeah, I love that you just said that, because this is my last question for you, which is, you mentioned journaling and taking notes and things that you do on a daily basis. Including that and aside from that, what would you say are your personal practices be
Because, you know, you're wearing, like I said, a million hats as the mom and the wife and the business owner and you know, the panel, the moderator of the panels and everything. You're wearing all these different hats and also making your own dreams come true with things like Dancing with the Stars and your own passion projects like modeling and whatnot. How do you stay sane? What are your personal practices, your daily habits, little things, self-care? How do you really cope ultimately?
So I have a few things that I do. The goal is to check them all, check the boxes every day. Not every day it happens. I don't beat myself over it if it doesn't. But when I get them all, it makes me so happy. So is to, you know, get enough sleep. And especially as I get older, I'm like, I used to be like, oh, just I'll sleep when I'm dead. No, prioritize the rest because you're going to be so much better when you're awake. So the sleep, eating like thoughtfully, not perfectly. I just try to make sure I get my protein in. That's really the only thing I look at. Like if I get my protein in, I'll probably get the calories in I need to sustain my workouts like that. Move my body / lift weights. That's my favorite thing. Drink water and breathe. Think, meditate, whatever you do, whatever you call it, that. Those are the five things. And every time, it's kind of like closing the rings on your Apple Watch. When I get them all and the little fireworks go off, I'm like, hey, I like my own little personal party. But that's it. Those are the things, you know, besides like make your bed, you know, and do all those things. But that's it. And like the only bonuses are like when I get like a good hug from Mark and the girls and the dogs, like that's just everything. That's just like icing on the cake. But those are the things that I feel like if I can always work to be consistent on, at least maybe I don't achieve them all, but I am trying, that those are the things I feel like keep me sane.
Yeah, I think celebrating the small wins is so important because it makes the big wins that much better. You know, you're able to celebrate yourself, even down to the little things, like, you know what, like I ate pretty good today. Not to say that it's perfect, but I feel good about the way that I treated my body. Like that's a win. You know, sometimes we feel pretty shitty. Like today I was able to walk like 3.5 miles. And that was a huge win for me because I work from home. So sometimes my steps for the day is like 1,000 because I've been sitting here all day, you know? Right, so knowing that today was like a 10,000 step day, like that's a win. And these are the things that we need to celebrate, especially when you have so much going on, like those little personal things is just so important.
Yeah.
So
I love that. Absolutely.
So what is next for you? You mentioned that the acne little stickers, they're not out yet. They're coming out. Is that
not yet? No, they're not out yet. We're still like, we have a lot going on right now. So we're paying
attention. What can we expect?
Oh my gosh. Well, we're coming up on a year of launching our footwear brand. So that is very exciting. Charlie's turning 20. I'm not going to have any more teenagers. That's exciting. Mark and I are having our 24th wedding anniversary. That's exciting. Work-wise, I mean, just I'm enjoying making content and just really finding those moments to create something that I could share online that just brings me a lot of happiness. I feel like that's good. My niece's bachelorette party, we're going to Nashville. That's exciting. Like, it's just those little things that make it like, it seems like it's, those are all little things, but to me, they're all big things.
No, I love how important family and the personal life. I think it makes so much sense. Like, you know, I see you online, but speaking with you is totally different. Like I can really like, you know, see your energy. And I think family for you is like clearly number one. And I think that's honestly what keeps you guys grounded, which ultimately leads to success. And I think you guys have so much more success ahead of you because you're genuinely good people, you know, and good things come to good people. So I see that. I have to say, talking to you, like I can, and the way you talk about your husband, I feel like you're both such young souls. You mentioned that you're 52 and I was like,
what? Like, I not saying that that's old at all, because trust me, it's not. But you give such like a really young energy that if you would have told me you were 40, I would have totally like been like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for doing what you do, because I think what you do is so important, because I know there's a lot of young girls that need that in their life. So thank you for that.
Of course. Thank you for saying that. You're very welcome. My last question before I forget is, do you have any other panels in New York coming up? Because I missed your New York panel, but I want to come to one.
Well, I don't have anything set, but I want to. So I'm trying to make that happen, because a lot of my friends are on the East Coast. And so when I did the one in New York, they all came, and that just was like to have all your homies there. I'm like, oh, this is everything. So I do want to try and make that happen. So if you hear of anything, let me know, but we're working on it.
All right, cool. I would love to stay in the loop on that. Where can everybody find you?
My socials are pretty much all Heidi D'Amelio on everything. And I think people don't know to look for me on Snapchat, because I feel like that's a very young app, but I do a lot on there that I like, just in the moment things. So a lot of dog stuff on there too, my little babies. Cool. But yeah, on all the platforms, Heidi D'Amelio.
Amazing. Well, this was so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Victoria. It was so nice to meet you.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The Workbook for the Girls Who Desire More. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalario.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalario.com.